You rocking with the Village. Welcome to the Village. Welcome to the Village. It's your man KJ. We are live. We are live. Beautiful Eve Marie in the Village. And got a lot going on in the world.
I'm doing good.
That's what's up. So Village, we just there's a lot going on in the world. And a lot of this stuff, man, it's just like I don't know how to even call it. I don't know how to call it. There's one topic in particular we're going to discuss tonight that Eve Marie sent me in regards to what's happening with migrant women. It's crazy. So we're going to get into these topics right now. So first topic, guys, we have, I found a link. It's kind of some world news type deal. And I'm going to go ahead and screen share with you guys because we won't do this too often. Okay, Village? But we're going to screen share with you guys because we want you guys to be able to follow along. But also, we're also going to start posting these links either before the show or after the show so you guys can give us your thoughts on them and we can go from there. So let's go ahead. We're going to screen share with you guys real quick. And this is our first story out of India, I believe, or Indonesia, actually. Anti-maskers forced to dig graves for COVID-19 victims in Indonesia. Eve Marie, what do you think about that? Just the title alone. Like, what are your thoughts?
Like, that's one heck of a way to force the people in your country just to put a mask on.
Right, but
like,
yeah, I don't know about that.
Forced labor. You don't wear a mask, you're going to go dig the graves of the people who died.
Right.
Infection. That's the part. Yeah. But it makes you stop and breathe and go, what am I doing? For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
wild to me because I read this, when I first saw it, I was like, wait, why are they doing this? But then I was like, okay, mm-hmm. Let's read a little bit of this. Uh-huh. Here. And, you know, for the people that are anti-maskers, this is a hell of a punishment. This is one hell of a punishment. All right, so at least 8 people who have refused to wear masks during the coronavirus pandemic have been forced to dig graves for people who died from COVID-19 in the province of East Java, Indonesia, according to a report from the Jakarta Post. There are only 3 available grave diggers at the moment, so I thought I might as well put these people to work with them. Local politician Suyuno told Tribune News, according to an English language translation by the Jakarta Post. Listen, this is not what you want to do. And here's another thing. There are countries where this, right, you can get away with this. This is that country. In America, that's not going to fly, Jack. That is not going to fly.
Nope.
You're not going to be able, you're not even going to remotely be able to pull this one off. You know, so
I just found it interesting how these different countries are handling people that don't want to wear masks, people that don't want to socially distance.
Mm-hmm.
It does note later on in the article, though, that the anti-maskers who are being punished are not forced to handle the dead bodies.
Right.
Just no, no, to no. do the manual labor of digging the graves digging and the preparing graves. Their pots. Right. So it's not like they're handling the infected bodies.
Yes, but still at the end of the day, you got to go out there and dig graves for people.
Yeah.
Like, it for me, it's the forced labor part that I'm not
Yeah, doing. The forced labor part is crazy.
That's what
But you I know, we, but you know, we do it here in the, you know, if you really, really stop and think about this, though.
Okay.
It is really, really stop and think about this. If there's a lot of, there's a lot of places it, within the United States that when juveniles commit crime, because they're saying basically not wearing a mask is kind of considered a crime in that country. Mm-hmm. We, you know, you do community service. You go pick up trash, you dig holes, you plant trees, you know, paint buildings. How is this different? How is it different? This is their version of community service. This is their version of community service. I think it's a knee-jerk reaction. Yeah, it's kind of a knee-jerk reaction for us, I think, because we're thinking they're handling, you know, forced to dig graves for. We're thinking they're handling these infected bodies. They're not.
No.
You know, if that mask thing is a mandate for their country, and their country is incredibly, it's no different than when you have to do community service for a petty crime here.
True.
For a petty crime here, you have to do some community service where you're giving back to your community for something you're not doing. Wearing a mask for them is something that's affecting their whole community. Mm-hmm. They need grave diggers. They need people to do this manual labor. And, you know, I think the fact that it's a grave makes a very knee-jerk reaction for us. But how is digging? Now, it's a deep grave, and of course, it's very heavy manual labor. But how is it different than digging a hole for a tree? A deep, deep hole, you know? Mm-hmm. How is it different than making someone go and work in a community garden? Or, you know, it's hard manual labor, but I think it affects us because we say they're digging a grave.
Yeah. I think they're that digging was a grave. That, like you said, that was definitely the knee jerk reaction because when I first saw the headline, I was like, oh my God. I was like,
I think, you know, but these headlines like are said, so designed to get our attention and make
draw
us
you in.
And make us Yeah, and make us feel a certain way, and you really have to read through and know your stuff for it not to get you every time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in this day and age. They can tell you whatever they want in that headline, and then you go read it, and it's absolutely nothing like you thought it would be. So
exactly. What we call it, clickbait. They just, you know, you hop on there, and it's like, oh, okay, that's all it is? But like I said, I think the thing that really throws me is the fact that this is a mandate. But when you put it into perspective of they do the same thing here in the US, but just on a different, it's a different way, a different wavelength, if you will, you have to really look at that and say, well, it's kind of the same thing.
Well, and you know, and you have to look at it like this too. You know, Indonesia is not a superpower, I don't think. Am I correct in saying that?
I don't think so either. No.
There's a very large populace of very poor folks in that country, and they're struggling to contain this virus.
Mm-hmm.
They are struggling to contain this virus. People have a lack of resources that we went here. We still feel a little bit sick. We can go buy a bottle of vitamin C. A lot of these folks are literally living on 50 cents a day.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference. So, you know, to tell them you have to wear a face covering, we're trying to contain a virus that, here in the United States, maybe it's not going to hit us. It's not going to kill every single person it hits.
No,
but if your populace is weaker, if your populace is working class poor of that country, mm-hmm. that are living in severe poverty, low and middle class income countries are gonna have a lack of resources.
Right.
You know?
Right, exactly.
All these drugs that we're all over and this will save these people. Well, I'm sorry, the average household in this country, if that country is not gonna be able to go to their local doctor and get the same treatments we are to save their lives.
Exactly.
So it's mandated. So they're saying, if you're not gonna do this, we're trying to save us, you're gonna have to do some manual labor. mm-hmm. we're going to put you over here and you're going to have to do that. And maybe that'll force people to think twice because it's such a simple thing to cover your face.
It is. It is. It's very much so. And that's the sad part about it. And there was a video. I actually wanted to play it for the Village Idiots, but I was like, I'm not in the mood for this crap. But there was a video of South Florida, apparently some anti-maskers walked through a Target screaming, hooping, and hollering. And I was just thinking to myself, people can't, not everybody can get away with that. And of course, they're all with the MAGA hats on and stuff like that. And I'm just like, come on, man. Like, just, it's not that damn serious, guys. Like, you know.
It's a mess. Yeah,
No one's trying to poison you. We're not trying to tell you. We're simply trying to say, hey, this is going to help other people. That's what I think people don't get.
I think that's what gets me, too. It's not, you know, is it inconvenient? Yes. Is there times that you're standing there going, I don't want to do this anymore? Mm-hmm. But no one's trying to put a chip in my forehead. No one's trying to do that. It's just a mask, a cloth mask. And here's the matter. It's a dollar bandana from somewhere. Mm-hmm. Of course, most people have put the money in to get something a little better. I wear mine 7-8 hours at a time. Mm-hmm. So I have a little bit better mask. But it's a little dumbfounding. It's a little dumbfounding. But, you know, that's a whole different podcast.
That is.
A whole different podcast with the reasoning behind the masks and what the social, you know, psychological mm-hmm. reasons why people don't want to wear masks and things of that nature.
And a lot of this is just a bunch of, we're not going to go there. That's not. We're going to move on here because I will go on a tangent. It's just a mask, though. It's just a mask. He will. You don't have to like the mask, but it's just a mask, man. I wear them everywhere. I wear it to the gym. I work out with it. I don't do jujitsu with it, but I do wear the mask. There it is. But at the end of the day,
it's almost Halloween anyway.
Right. And at the end of the day, this this right here, this one, after you really talk about it, really dig into the article and really figure out what's going on, I definitely will say that this is okay, but there's aspects. I think because, you know, I guess it's happening maybe in a foreign country, and I'm thinking human rights issues. Right.
Yeah. And there may be some human rights issues going on with this.
Right. But at the same time, we have civil rights issues going on in our own country that need to be dealt with. So, you know, at some point, you know, you have to be able to draw that line and you can compare and contrast all day. But they're handling their business. We're handling ours. Sometimes that's just how it has to be. So. I thought it was just an interesting read, to say the least.
For sure.
In regards to how we do things versus how somebody else does it. And that's what it is. Like, you really have to think about it. It's just differences. That's all this is. It's just differences. So, you know.
For sure.
It's okay. All right. Let's move on here to this next topic. We have, and this is one that I found interesting as well. And I've always told people, even from a child, I remember like growing up very strict Christian home, you know, we're the only creatures, God only made us, blah, blah, blah. But I refuse to believe that this gigantic universe only has us. I just refuse to believe that, right? That's just something that you're not going to get me to co-sign on. Okay, yeah. So the link that I'm referring to, guys, here, this is one, I believe I might have come across this one.
Yeah, this wasn't from me, although I probably have been keeping up and reading a little bit here and there because I'm the science nerd.
So discovery of noxious gas on Venus could be a sign of life. You know, deep within the acidic clouds of Venus, astronomers have detected a tantalizing gas never found on the planet before. A gas that remarkably could be the sign of life on the hellish world. The gas's presence isn't enough to say for sure that Venus hosts life forms, But the fact that it exists in the planet's clouds indicates that something is going on there that we fully don't understand. And it, here it is. If you, you know, we have to, when we're kids, we're not taught to be fearful. We're not taught how to, we're not taught how to think. We're just allowed to think. And I think as we grow into adulthood, we're taught how to think. We're taught that this is the right way. We're taught that this is how you do it. Well, you know, let's reverse that mindset, that theory, right? You start off with this clean slate when you're a kid. You know, your parents always tell you, use your imagination. And as adults, we stop doing that. Well, let's start using our imaginations, adults. Let's start using our imagination again. What if? I just found this, I found this very interesting because what if?
It is interesting.
That's what I thought. I look at it. Your thoughts, go ahead.
I didn't grow up conservative Christian, but I kind of chose that way of life.
Mm-hmm.
Probably early preteen age. Not saying that my family wasn't Christian, but they just weren't big churchgoers, you know? But I kind of chose that life. But I think one of the things that always kind of made me wonder was, nowhere in the Bible does it say that we are the only life that God made. You know what I mean? Nowhere does it say specifically we're the only life that God made. But I just find it interesting, you know, it kind of goes with the origins of life. And, you know, this gas they found on Venus, it's gas that we find in animals and humans and things in within Earth that has to do with how we process food and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's the only place it's found on Earth. And so they're trying to recreate and say, how is this found in these clouds, you know, in these clouds on Venus? How are we finding these small amounts? So then you're going, well, where is it coming from? Where is this reaction being mm-hmm. produced?
Right.
And then you're going, if it's produced only by living organisms on our planet, are there small amounts of living organisms of some type
mm-hmm.
on that planet?
Exactly.
You know, and as humans, we have a superiority complex.
We do.
Yeah. That we are the only significant form of life on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Which we are not. Nope. We are actually, what is it, when something attaches to something else and sucks the life out of it?
We're parasites.
We're parasites. We really are parasites because we have to use everything around us to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Left on our own without putting water or food into our systems, you know, mm-hmm. without burning wood to stay warm or using electricity to do all these things, we would simply perish and die. We're parasites.
Yeah.
So to say we're the only significant, no, they've already said that there are a lot of very significant intelligent beings on our own planet. So the thought that there could be the right mixture of things that would make life significant life on another planet is very exciting for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because we also assume that we're cool enough that these other planets want to come take ours over.
Right, and I was gonna venture into that.
Yeah, we always assume
all these. Think about all these movies. All of a sudden, everyone, the aliens want to come to Earth and take over our planet. I'm like, man, at the rate that we're running this son of a bitch into the ground, why would you want to come here?
We're assuming we really do assume that all life out there are parasites.
Mm-hmm.
We just assume that. Well, what if Venus has a self-sustaining form atmosphere of life, just like it's a self-sustaining form of life that doesn't need the amount of resources that humans do, that are perfectly good living on their planet, and their planet itself takes care of itself. But it is exciting. It is exciting to think that there's something out there other than us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, this is why. Eventually, we're going to explode. We're going to burn out. We're going to get hit by an asteroid. This is inevitable. This is how science works. This is mm-hmm. how nature works, right? So the thought that there's another life form on another planet evolving and doing what it needs to means that somewhere else there's another form of life in civilization, whatever Correct. That civilization be, whether it yeah. be a dolphin or a microbe or whatever, that's perpetuating itself within that. That's cool.
That's very cool.
That's cool.
Very.
It doesn't have to be my life to be important within its own self.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's very, very, very cool. Yes. I like it.
Yeah, I do as well.
I like it.
Like I said, when I read that article, I was like, wow. I'm like, you know, and then you have to think about, like, NASA has found these other planets that are, there's another planet they found, and it's however many light years away. But it's a planet that actually mimics Earth. It has it's very similar to Earth. And that's why I say I don't believe that we are the only ones. This universe is too vast for us to be it. Like, this is it? Like, all, like a few billion humans, and
yeah.
this universe is as big as it is, and we're the only ones rocking this joint? No. I'm yeah. sorry. That's just, yeah. I don't agree. No.
We're the only ones rocking this joint. No, I don't think that we're the only ones. I really no. don't. There's too many things that they find within the layers and crusts of our own planet that mm-hmm. we didn't know existed for us just to assume we're the only life out there. And I think it's cool that we can see things light years away when we can't travel there. I think that's also very cool. Mm-hmm. We can't travel to these planets within our lifetime, but we no. can somehow look through telescopes and probes and this kind of thing. I think that's the coolest thing.
Yeah, like some of these planets, like put it this way, if we left right now, maybe our like what great great grandkids would get to see these places.
Oh, I think it's more than that, but yeah.
Is it more than that? Okay, I don't know.
But I think it's more than that. What yeah, I'm simply
saying is these planets, these other things are so far out there
yeah,
that there's just no way. So that's why I always say I refuse to believe that this one little spinning rock, right, is it.
Mm-hmm.
They discovered
yeah,
other...
Yeah, for sure.
They discovered other stars or suns in these other galaxies. There's reasons why these things exist.
Yeah.
There's reasons yeah. why. Somebody else is getting life. Somebody else is getting the same thing we're getting. Right? So, mm-hmm. before we move on, Eve-Marie, do you remember the ending of the first... What was it? What movie was that? Men in Black, where the alien had the marbles, and basically our galaxy was a marble. And this kid was just playing with marbles. Like,
yeah.
what if this is just, you know, you don't know. You don't.
There's
you don't
a
know.
Book. There is a book in the series the same way the Wind in the Door science fiction for kids. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Miriam L. Engel. That actually talks about how our planet on this Earth is nothing but an individual cell within a giant body.
Mm.
Like, we are so minuscule. And I remember reading the book as a kid and thinking that is such a neat idea. What if I am nothing more than when we look at cells in the body that are replicating and doing this, that, and the other? What if we're not any more than this itty tiny microscopic thing? Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. We're just yeah. this little tiny microscopic yeah. piece of the mm-hmm. universe.
Yeah, and like I said, last point, and then we'll move on, because I love, like, I nerd out on stuff like this. I just do.
Me too.
But
I do too.
But at the end of the day, like, when you think about this, right, like, there was this video that I saw, it was probably 2 or 3 years ago, and basically it was they had a telescope, and this telescope zoomed all the way out, and it showed... The telescope could not map the entire universe, right? It showed what it could. And then it had this arrow, and it had this little speck, and it said, "This is Earth." And then it was titled or captioned, "Do you think we're the only ones out here?" And I was like, no. I refuse to believe that this gigantic thing of mm-hmm. space with all these other galaxies and stars and planets that are habitable, that we're the only ones that are rocking this joint. No. get over that. I'm sorry. Yeah. Throw it out the window.
Yeah, the whole idea, the Stargate theory from the TV show, where you've got these humanoid or humans over all of these planets, always made so much sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just like, I think we're unique, but I don't think we're quite that unique, you know?
No, humanity is unique. Humanity is unique in how we do things.
But to say that there's not humanity somewhere else on some other planet
right.
that's very close to what we are,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a far-fetched idea.
No, it's not. And I have to absolutely agree with you. All right, let's move on here because we could obviously discuss this for hours.
We'll probably talk about it later.
We can do a whole podcast just on this.
Because we're big nerds.
So let's just go ahead. Let's move on here. And Evenree, we got to share this with the village. This is one that...
I was hot reading this.
This is some major human rights violation. But the problem is this is a whistleblower, so you know how these things pan themselves out sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, ICE detainees face medical neglect and hysterectomies, whistleblower alleges. Nurse Dawn Wooten said she was demoted and reprimanded when she spoke out against the practices at Georgia Detention Center. Immigrants in a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Detention Center in Georgia are being subject to horrific conditions and treatments, including jarring medical neglect and a high rate of hysterectomies among women, according to a whistleblower complaint filed by several legal advocacy groups on behalf of a nurse who works there. Okay. Give me your thoughts, because I got some stuff to say, so go ahead.
You got some stuff to say?
I gotta get some stuff off my chest.
Oh my goodness. So you read, and first of all, being a woman, like I a couple of months ago, you know, I faced the possibility that I may have to
mm-hmm.
have a medical thing. Some, you know, like a hysterectomy done to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, hysterectomies are something that are not done unless they absolutely have to do one to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a big, big thing. And the fact that they're doing this, golly gee, if they find 100% evidence that this is happening, how horrible is this? When this crap was being done in Nazi Germany to women in Nazi Germany,
mm-hmm.
the whole world was outraged that this was happening, mm-hmm. right? And so now I'm looking, you know, poor safety precautions during COVID, hazardous and unsanitary conditions within this immigration. And then on top of it, these women are going to the medics and saying, I'm having a few issues, or the medics are just taking them and saying, well, you have to have this health screening. They're telling you, well, we have to give you this shot. They're knocking these women out and saying, oh, well, we had to do a medical procedure, and they're giving them hysterectomies. You talk about population control.
We have, yes.
Population control. That's what this is. It's population control. It's making sure that these women can't continue to have. That's what's the word I'm looking for, babe. That's genocide. It's a part of genocide.
Keeping somebody from being able to reproduce.
Yes, when you kill off a populace, when you kill them or keep them from being able to produce offspring, it's genocide.
Yeah. and this is a tough one. Just looking at it, you know, just on a human rights, basic human rights, what right? I get it. Some would say, well, they're here illegally. Yeah, but it still does not give you the right to remove their uteruses and do these procedures. It doesn't give you that right. That's all. You know, if you want to detain them at these immigration centers, I don't know the law well enough to say that this is legal or illegal, right? I don't know the law. But what I do know is that it's a human rights violation to remove someone's uterus, right? Like if this nurse is if she's 100% accurate in saying what she's saying, this is not okay.
No, because and at the end of the day, if we say it's okay for them to do this at this detention center, guess what? When you get drunk at the bar and are drunk and disorderly and you go and you get put into lockup at the county jail, they can take you for a medical checkup and do the same thing.
Which is very unfortunate.
But hopefully, guess what? It's not happening.
It's not happening. But it's hopefully not happening. It never comes to that, because that's
which
insane.
Is why I say this is genocide. This is part of genocide.
Yeah. And this is absolutely insane. Like, you think about this from a... I am personally about the human rights. You know, that's my thing. That's why this bothers me as much as it does, right? It's human rights violations that bother me. These individuals being detained at a immigration center, like I said, Village, I don't know the law well enough to know that if it's illegal or legal to detain these individuals in such a manner. However, I do know that you cannot do these types of things. You cannot remove uteruses. You cannot involuntarily tell someone, hey, you got to get a hysterectomy. No.
They're not even, what I was reading when I read it, they weren't even telling these women. They told these women they had to go in for a medical procedure.
Yeah.
And later on, they're finding they can never have a child again.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not giving them sanitation to be able to not get COVID, if COVID is rampant, they can die of COVID, right?
Yes.
But we're not providing, we're keeping them in one place and we're not providing the right kind of protection for them. So to me, that, I'm thinking infected blankets all over again, but we'll keep going away from that. So, and then on top of it, they're performing medical procedures that these women are not agreeing to on their bodies. Like,
and this right here, Eve Marie, immigrants who spoke out against these conditions were regularly pushed into solitary confinement, the complaint said. Wooten says she was demoted and reprimanded when she spoke out about these practices, according to an interview with The Intercept. You know, I commend her. I didn't have a village hero, but it said that she had been part of this for roughly 10 years. And she must have finally had enough. She must have said no. We can't do this anymore.
Or my question is, did it start out and then she started connecting the dots? Because sometimes it takes some time to connect the dots.
It does.
So you're talking about a woman, a nurse that was there for a long time, and she starts to see, when she first got there, it wasn't the best, but maybe it was still okay. And then it got worse over time, and then just... she got to the point she says, I can't do anymore. These conditions for these women are getting worse and worse. And on top of it, they're taking away their chances of ever having children. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't just mess with your hysterectomies don't only mess with you being able to have children. They mess with your entire body.
Mm-hmm.
They mess with your hormones. It messes with your weight. It messes with, it causes all kinds of really, really cruddy stuff, which is why the average person that doesn't want to have children cannot go just have a hysterectomy.
No.
It is a major medical
procedure. Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't lift over 50 pounds for the next 6 months of your life, medical major. You can die getting a hysterectomy. You can bleed out. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're telling us that all of these hysterectomies had to be done, for what reason? For what reason? They all have cancer. They all have difficulties during their menstrual cycle.
No.
You know? No.
No.
You can't tell.
Not no, but hell no. No.
Not.
This is like you said. This is simple population control and genocide. It's that simple, man. You don't get to determine if somebody else, if there's a, like you said, Eve Marie, if there is a medical thing, that there is a found medical condition where this is going to save this woman's life or something to that nature, then someone needs to be brought in to make sure that they understand fully, like an interpreter, to fully understand what's about to happen. This is, like I said, I don't
you
know
don't
the
give
law.
Up the rights to your body.
Right.
You don't give up the
exactly.
rights to your body.
Just because you're considered here illegally, right? Just because you're here under those under that umbrella, you still are a human being. And you have rights. Human rights. That's the basics of what it boils down to. So that's something that I definitely will make sure that we post to the Village and Facebook page, and we're gonna go from there. All right, so this is one that you sent me as well, this next topic here, and a little football action. You know me, it's football season.
It's football season. We already had a football day.
We did. And you watched, and you talked to me while I watched football, and it was beautiful. Patriots stand for national anthem as Dolphins follow through on commitment to staying in the locker room. Some teams did that. Some kneeled, some raised fists, some locked arms. I'm still tripped out about the booing at the first game of the season, Thursday night. It was the Chiefs versus the Houston Texans. All they did was lock arms and the fans booed. That just lets me know, once again, and I said on the last podcast, once again, it just lets me know it's not about the doggone flag. It's about giving up the power and not being the supreme entity anymore. And there it is. But anyways, dang, is he rocking a mullet? Yes, he is. That man's rocking a mullet.
He is rocking that mullet.
He is rocking it. I am not mad. Foxborough, all Patriots stood for the national anthem during their season opener Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. No players locked arms, nor did any raise their fists. That's their choice. The Dolphins stayed in the locker room, a decision the team announced Thursday in a two-minute video that condemned the league for its fluff and empty gestures. I can see why they would say the fluff and empty gestures. The NFL is, on the surface, the NFL is doing what... Excuse me, is doing what it can. Right, Eva?
Yeah.
But some would say the NFL is, this is all like a, it's like a, what is it? The show and pony, the pony show, whatever it is. It's all just something they're doing to make it look good.
Well, so, if you read later in the article, it says what was actually played was they lined up for a pre-recorded performance of the Black National Anthem, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, lift every voice, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I can see why some of them were, well, that's a very empty gesture where we're just placating people. We're just placating people. But I'm like, at the same time, it still was still cool. It was still very cool that it was done. You know, it's some, I don't know.
You know, this is where you and I are going to differ. This is where. I get the gestures, and I'm never going to say it's too late. But at this point, I think people want more. They want more than just some pre-recorded video. Is it a cool gesture? Is it a cool gesture, like you said? Of course it is. Of course, anything that's done is appreciated, right? That's just what it is. But I think people want more. People want real justice, real reform. And the NFL and the players in the NFL, the coaches, those guys that are in the limelight, not your trainers or like that, but like your players, your coaches, those guys are in the limelight. So when they make these statements and make these moves, guess what? People pay attention, right? The one thing I'm tired of is people saying, oh, they just need to play football and just shut the hell up. I'm like, no. Everyone, people throughout history have used their platform in some way or another. Right? If you have a platform and you see something you don't like, you use your platform and you speak out about it. That is the simplest way to say this. You have a platform, use your platform. This right here, this podcast, this is our platform. Right?
Yes,
we're using it to get our points of view across. Right? They're professional athletes. They get to play a sport that I absolutely love every Thursday or Sunday or whatever the case may be, right? They are using their platform to say, this has to stop. This is not about some show and dance. This is not a bunch of BS. There are people who are rich athletes and they still are seeing, racial issues being having to happen to them, right? LeBron James had the word nigger spray painted across his garage a few years back, right? That man is a millionaire, donates millions to school, started his own school, things like that. Guess what? At the end of the day, some people feel the way they feel about him and they let him know. So there it is. Avery, before we move on, tell me any more further thoughts on this.
No, not. I mean, I think the NFL, I think, is trying to find its way.
I agree.
I will say that. They're trying to find and they're trying to make themselves into a place where there's unity, every voice counts, and that they're all coming together. So I think it'll be interesting in, say, the next 10 years to kind of see how that pans out.
Right.
You know, instead of this seeming like an empty gesture that's too late, it becomes something that goes hand in hand with the national anthem. Mm-hmm. Or maybe not the national anthem, just something that shows unity.
Right.
You know,
I think that's what it is. Important. It's unity. I think unity as is what important. We're looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like united we do stand. It's the only way you can stand. You can't take two cards and make cope to make a house that isn't going to tumble. You know, you need all of us.
Yeah. Everybody, you know? In a sense, like you just put it, everyone has to buy in.
Yeah.
It's not going
everybody
to
has
work.
To buy in.
It's not going to work with two or three people. Like two or three people can make a difference, right? Two or three professional athletes can reach people. But if you really want to see some significant change, it has to be a sweeping gesture. It has to. That is the absolute only way that this is going to work. So, you know, hopefully this can be, we can learn from this, right? Because when I watched football over the weekend, there were quite a few teams, like the Atlanta game. I forget who Atlanta played, forgive me, but it was the opening kickoff and everybody on the field took a knee. Like, these are things that have to happen. They're making a statement. They're using their platform on national TV. Guess what? There's no fans in the stands, but guess what? Them TV cameras are on them and watching, and America is watching. The world is watching. And that's what this means to me. So
yeah.
That's what I got. Any further thoughts before we move on, Eva Marie?
No, sir.
Okay. So let's jump on here to this next topic here. And this was one that I was just like, for real, dude? Like, okay, man. I like guns. I'm going to go ahead and say it. But I will peacefully protest. I've never blocked freeways or nothing like that. But I have peacefully protested. It's just something I feel like I have to be a part of something like that. When it's something major, I will show up and I will make sure my voice is heard and I keep it pushing, right? So here's an article here. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee enacts law stripping voting rights from protesters. Protesters, not rioters, protesters. Now, maybe I misunderstood this, but rioters, people that are caught rioting, then let's talk. But if you're peacefully protesting, I don't see the problem. That's your constitutional right. So okay. What are your thoughts?
So according to this, according to, you know, like, I'm wondering if this is just another knee-jerk reaction type of statement.
Right.
But it says the bill, which Governor Lee signed into law Thursday, increases the penalties for people who illegally camp on state property.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're going to protest, and they're camping out on state property, which is illegal. What?
I read that.
But, okay.
And I wanted you to say that because I have something I want to say about that. So go ahead.
Yeah, punishable up to 6 years in prison. Mm-hmm. Residents registered to vote in the state lose their right to vote if they are convicted of a felony. Mm-hmm. The law will also be implement a mandatory 45-day sentence for aggravated rioting, and boost the fine for blocking highway access to emergency vehicles, and enhance the punishment for aggravated assault against a first responder to a Class C felony. Mm-hmm. So some of that I agree. Some of it I do agree with. I think if you know, blocking the highway for emergency vehicles is not a good thing.
No, I don't agree with blocking highways. I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with the blocking the highways. And if you assault a first responder, to me, yes, that's a Class C felony.
Agreed.
Because that person could be going to save someone's life.
Exactly. Agreed. There
you go.
Okay, let me throw this in here. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think that it gets a little tricky with the illegally camping on state property, because then you start saying, well, what state property? The state parks or the state's property? Mm-hmm. And what do we define as illegal?
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
So then I think when you start, I think that's going to get tricky. Because when are they going to call state property, and what are they going to call illegal camping?
Okay. So, here's my issue with that. No one had an issue when those patriots up north in northern, the Pacific Northwest, took over a damn federal building. Guns, all that, right? They took over a building with guns. With guns. Bunch of white dudes in there with guns. No one really said much about that. But if people want to peacefully protest, if they want to sit on a lawn and peacefully protest and let their voices be heard, what's the problem?
Yeah.
As long as they're not impeding anybody from coming to and from the building, what is the problem? That's the point I'm trying to make. If you can peacefully protest, which is what I am for, right? There are so many ways. I understand Malcolm X's way, and I understand Dr. King's way, right? I understand both logics, both mindsets. But if somebody is peacefully protesting, they're not impeding anybody from doing their jobs, they're not harassing people, they are holding their signs, they are chanting, whatever the case may be, making noise, making a ruckus, that's their right. That's just how I feel. That is their absolute right to be able to do that. And that's where I'm at. Because if you refuse to address or deal with the fact that you had a bunch of white dudes take over a building because they were unhappy about something, then you can't tell, because this is going to really single out minorities. Let's just be honest. This is going to hit minorities really hard. Because lately, that is who you see a lot of. You see a lot of minorities, right? And you have those that support them, which can be whatever race, whatever. But you have a lot of people who are out there protesting right now, fighting for rights. That's how I feel. If you cannot address one, then you cannot place a law forbidding this. And that's just where I'm at. Anything else on this, Eva Marie?
No, sir.
So, Eva Marie and I differ on this one.
No, not no. Oh, the next one?
No, this one right now.
Oh, this one? No.
No, we're going.
No. No. I see the point you're making.
Yeah.
I see the point you're making. I do.
Mm-hmm. And I see the point you're making. I understand. But my perspective is that. Because like I said, I see these things. Being on the West Coast, I see these things, right? You see you see more of what's going on where you live. We both see different pieces of life. So I get your perspective. I understand.
I don't agree with the law per se. I don't agree with peaceful protests and trying to find a way to stop people from peacefully protesting. Of course not. Mm-hmm. Of course not.
Right. I absolutely am okay with peaceful protests. I'm good with it. I'm good with peaceful protests.
Yes.
Because that is how you... Like you hear the old verbiage, they don't hear you unless you take your dollar away from them. There's so many ways to protest. When they did Blackout Tuesday and black businesses stayed open and everyone patronized at black businesses, people noticed. That's what it takes sometimes. There's so many ways. Everyone's like, no, go burn the building down. No, instead of burning the building down where they're at, don't go into their business and spend your money. See how that hits. I tell everybody that. Don't burn the building down. It's just a building. They have insurance. They're going to put that building right back up, put the same products right back up, and they're going to go in there and buy them. But if you don't go in there and buy their products, their services, their goods, whatever the case may be, that's how you hit them. Then they have to pay attention, because your dollar is just as powerful as everyone else's dollar. And that's the thing that people don't realize. So
yeah,
that's where I'm at. So no, I don't agree with this peaceful protesting. No. And again, Village, I will post this to the Facebook page, and we're going to go from there. Okay, so this last story here. You guys remember Andrew Gilliam? He was the gubernatorial. Am I saying that correct, Eva Marie? Am I saying that correct? Gubernatorial. Okay, I don't know. Whatever. Who cares? But you guys, you remember he was running for governor of Florida, and he lost by, I think, one percentage point, if I remember correctly. Was it one percentage point? I can't remember.
It was something crazy.
Yeah, it was something very small. Like he like the equivalence of like one district or something like that. I don't remember. But apparently he has come out of the closet as bisexual. And personally, I read this article, and the first thing I thought was, is okay, cool. What's the problem? There are a lot of men in this country who are bisexual. Why are we making a bigger deal out of this than what it is? Like, he's bisexual. And here's the other piece about it. If his wife is okay with it, then who the hell are we? Why do we matter? Your thoughts?
Pretty much the same. You know, what this man does in his bed is none of our concern.
Right. Can he run the country? Can he do his job as a politician?
Exactly.
Cool. I don't give a damn what you do. I don't care if you have an open relationship, if you're polyamorous, non-monogamous, whatever the hell you want to call it. It doesn't matter. Do you?
If we're supposed to ignore and not care that our president is a misogynist, what does it matter if this man's bisexual? Let's just be perfectly honest. Yes, yep. I just said that out loud.
Yeah.
But if we're supposed to ignore the fact that our current government has its problems and its way of thinking, well, that's, he's allowed to think that way, well, then guess what? This man is allowed to be bisexual. And right. Who gives two hilla beans about their sexuality? Can he do good for his office that he's doing? Has right. he done good things? You know? So be it.
Right.
There are worse fish to fry.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. You can't tell me.
Politics is riddled with sexual scandal.
Right.
Sexual scandal.
Right.
This is just someone's chosen way of
living.
Yes.
If you will.
Exactly.
I hate the word lifestyle. I try to say love style, because lifestyle indicates something different to me. But the way I look at this is, his wife is okay with it, or she seems to be okay with it.
I'm not in that man's bed, so who cares?
Right. And so that's the thing. She didn't leave him. She ain't divorce him. Maybe they have that kind of arrangement. Because sometimes
it looked from reading what I have of the article, looks like she already knew.
Yes,
she knew this was who she married and who he is as a person.
I saw a piece of the interview. I saw a piece of the interview on YouTube, and she knew.
Like, so be it. So who cares?
Right. You know, but the same thing. Here's the thing about it. it's, and I'm gonna say it, it's the right, the conservative party, the Republicans, that are trying to trash him, right? Calling him, like, I went to the Fox News Facebook page after this was just, Jesus. Like, it's bad. Like, bad, bad. Like, that's, it's, the comments, insane, right? But then you'll have a Republican senator get caught in a hotel with an underage male prostitute. And no one bats an eye. It's swept under the rug. You don't see about it. You don't really hear too much about it, right? Here's the thing. When we finally get to a point where, and I'm going to go in a little bit here. Give me a second. When we finally get to a point where we stop saying interracial marriage, when we stop saying gay marriage, when we stop saying these things, it's just marriage. It's just marriage. What two consenting adults do in their bedroom is none of my concern. As long as you don't involve children and animals, I don't care. I absolutely don't care what you do. It doesn't bother me. And I've had to come to these things myself. I've had to literally sit and look in the mirror. I'm like, why does it bother you? Yeah, and if it does bother you, why? I try to tell people, don't approach this from a biblical mindset, right? Because not everybody wants to follow the Bible or the Christianity. Not everybody wants to do that, right? But at the same time, if people choose to live their lives according to what makes them happy, like I said, Eva, as long as you're not hurting children or animals, what is the big damn deal?
Yeah, I've seen some horrific things that completely cis heterosexual couples have done to children and animals.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got parents that are polyamorous, parents that are, you know, bisexual, these different sexuality things that are raising beautiful, well-adjusted children that have never been hurt by them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going, so the evil people, the quote-unquote evil people, are doing a damn good job of raising these children.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got some scum of the earth over here that we don't look twice at because they're not two dads or two moms or, you know, a mom and a dad household.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stop looking at what's going on in people's bedrooms and start looking at who they are as individual people.
There it is.
Wonderful individual people. Mm-hmm. that are worth having on the freaking planet.
Exactly. I absolutely agree with that, man, because so this whole incident, like, I guess this interview stemmed from Andrew Gilliam was in a hotel with two other men. Whatever they were doing, it could have been a threesome. Who cares? That's their business. But apparently, one of the guys OD'd, died, whatever. And he was kind of caught up in all that, right? So this is what brought it all to the forefront, if you will, is what happened with this incident, right? So I understand what this is and how it all came out. But here at the same time, what he does is his business. His wife knows. She seems like she's okay with it, right? She seems like she supports him. So I say mush on.
Yeah, I think my thing would be, why were you with someone who might have been doing illegal drugs? That would be my, you know,
yeah.
Is there drug use?
Right.
Is there illegal drug use? It should not matter that there were two other men in that hotel room.
Right.
Was there drug use going on?
Right.
Was there, you, I think were that's you the part that, part that, of, you know, that, was there drug use going on? That should be, it should, at no point in time should it matter.
If he was in there with several men.
What, the sex of the person in that hotel room. Was there drug use going on?
Yes.
Because then we're going to look at him, we're going to say, are you fit for office? If
that
you're doing
part.
Illegal drugs, are you fit for office?
That's
but it
my
should
issue.
Never be what you're doing sexually in your bedroom.
Right.
Because I'm sorry, if that's our criteria, we need to throw out half of the federal government right now.
Starting at the top.
If that's our criteria, we need to throw out a lot of people. Because the government, for as long as I've been alive, has been riddled with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't hear about bisexuality and you know, same-sex marriage and same-sex partnerships. We heard about affairs and, oh, you know, sex scandals all the time. So what sex scandal is bigger than another sex scandal, in my opinion? There's no scandal here. There's no scandal. It's just the choice of someone's sexuality. There's no scandal. So why are we picking on sexuality? We shouldn't be.
Right.
You know?
If they would address this from a drug perspective, I would have said, okay, maybe let's discuss it that way, right? But who this man sleeps with, I don't give
a
damn.
It's none of my concern.
I don't give a damn who he sleeps
with. There is one person on this planet that it's my concern, and my concern is just, are you happy? That is all.
That's it. Are you
my neighbor?
And are you being safe too? You know, like,
are you being safe?
Are you being safe?
Are you being safe? Are you being, you know, are you happy? Is this person being good to you? And do I know about it?
Mm-hmm.
If I don't know about it, then it's an issue.
Then it's a problem.
As long as I know about it,
and like, you know about it, and everything is hunky dory, and his wife, if she has the same option to do that kind of, to live that life, man, do you?
Exactly. Do you?
More people need to realize that this is not something new. This has been going on for God knows how long. This is not a new thing. It's not new. Get over it. Anyways, Eve Marie, that's our show for today. I'm going to save the Villas Idiots for this weekend. I had a couple. We've kind of went on and went on and went on. Village, let's do some show notes here. And get some things cleaned up and all that good stuff. So, Village, if you guys want to get a hold of me, you guys can get a hold of me on Twitter at Enlighten My Mind. I also handle the Village Twitter handle at W2TheVillage. If you want to get a hold of us on Instagram, search Welcome to the Village. If you wish to listen to the show, there are several ways to do so. The first would be listening to, or not the first, but one of many. We can be heard through Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Tumblr, Podomatic, Spotify, YouTube by searching Welcome to the Village, and LinkedIn by searching for me, Kevin Johnson. Facebook page is Welcome to the Village. Please go give us a like. If I sent you that request, it's such a simple way to support. Such a simple, simple way. Google phone voicemail is 619-387-8125. And again, we are working on a lot of things behind the scenes for you guys. I'm hoping to get some more information back within the next week or so as far as the project I'm in charge of, Village. Yes, yes.
You're in charge of.
My project. Eve Marie, as usual, baby, great show. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. So, Village, as the saying goes, we love you. We thank you. God bless you. Have a great day. Bye, everybody.
You're rocking with the Village.